little thing called diabetes. It's a daily grind, it's a daily grind, and it grinds and grinds and grinds.
Welcome to the third episode of the Real Life Diabetes Podcast by Diabetes Daily Grind, now available on Stitcher and iTunes. I kind of hope it makes it in there. Like, we zipped up the show. All right. I'm your co-host of today's podcast, DDG co-founder and editor, Ryan Fightmaster. Co-founder Amber Clore is going to join us in a few. Who am I and why am I talking? Well, I'm a plant-based, vegan weekend athlete, love to run, love to ride bikes, really enjoy almond butter, love to hike mountains when they're in the vicinity, not always an option here in Oklahoma, and I'm currently in my first year of medical school at the University of Oklahoma. Pretty passionate about preventative and functional medicine, and a dude who's diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 9. This is Easy as a Grind. How are we supposed to live our lives? Well, you know, there's more to it than just counting carbs and taking insulin. Diabetes Daily Grind is giving you that support that helps you explore the gray area. What if you want to do a triathlon? What if you're struggling to find your career path? Curious about the effect of coffee on blood sugar? Is diabetes in the way of you and happiness? That's why we're here. We want to inspire people with diabetes to make the most of right now. We want you to run marathons. We are dispelling hot tub fears. We give you ways to use diabetes as a pickup line. Yeah, it's doable, and we put it out there. We are not afraid of carbohydrates. And for real, though, DiabetesDailyGrind.com is here to explore what promotes your best life, type 1, type 1.5, and type 2. Before we jump into this week's show, we would like to thank everyone who continues to click on our Amazon banner ad located along the right side of the DDG homepage before they shop. Those few cents we get in return are helping us keep the website up. Thanks for signing up for the newsletter. Thanks for support on social media. Appreciate everyone spreading the word to others diagnosed with diabetes. Keep it up, guys. We really appreciate it. This week on the site, Amber rolled out some killer content. In the Tuesday topic, she explored the question of whether or not diabetes is cutting off your career path. Due to our Oklahoma version of inclement weather, what I would say was probably about a half inch of sleet, she discussed how she stocks up on bad weather reserves. My version of Dave Asprey's bulletproof coffee is up on the sliders on the site. Also put on my thoughts about how meditation can transform diabetes management. It does. It's possible. Be on the lookout for a new blog that Scott Johnson from scottsdiabetes.com and I've been working on. It's all about how a plant-based diet can impact diabetes management. Check out his site or follow him on social media. He's the truth, guys. Today, Amber and I got together just to talk, catch up, covered the new inhaled insulin Afrezza. We talked about that bulletproof coffee, covered some diabetes mental health, and of course, we got to wine and beer. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. It's at this new place in Oklahoma City called Fassler Hall, and tons of German beer. So I felt like I was at home. You know, people were coming up to me and like, "Oh my gosh, you're German! You gotta love this place." I was like, "I had never thought about that before."
Are you German?
I am German. Yeah, I was actually born in Germany.
Nuh-uh.
No, I wasn't. That's a lie. No, that's a total lie.
Like more.
I'm born in more. I'm from more.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, more born and bred. Born and bred. That's right. Yeah, that's a flashback to podcast number one. But we're here today hanging out in your friend's house. Are you going to tell them where we're recording? I feel like I'm on vacation.
Yeah, I'm house sitting for a dear friend who actually, one of the blog that posts came from some artwork that she had on her wall from Marwin Begay that focused on diabetes. So yeah, I'm basically in a spa. That's how I feel. And I'm taking care of, if that's what you want to call it, two cats.
Two cats. So today on the show, you might hear some noises in the background, just talking, contributing their own thoughts on the diabetic life.
Yeah.
And what are their names?
Carlos and Ringo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wouldn't expect anything
less. I'm happy
less.
That they're both still alive. And I had to give one of them medicine throughout this. And it was almost like giving him an injection because it was a syringe in the mouth. Anywho, I'm alive and so is he.
You're still here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're still here. But this piece of work, this artwork is amazing. I don't know if you've seen it on the blog before, but go for it. Check it out. Basically lays out fast food and everything that goes on with diabetes, a meter. We've got syringes, insulin, and it's just laid out in this really iconic look that basically goes up into the heavens and reflects death. It's a pretty unique piece. Yep.
Well, in this piece...
And we hope to have him on the podcast at some point in the future.
I've already talked to Marwin about doing that. He is Native American, and this whole series is about that culture and how the numbers of type 2 diabetics are going through the roof and the introduction of fast food and things like that. So he's very passionate about it.
Cool.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I am creating an exhibition that will kick off in October. After speaking with Marwin about the whole series, I think it would be really interesting to show that perspective. So he has this whole body of work, and then an artist I used to represent sent me a link to a woman who is also a type 1 diabetic, and she has a whole collection. And so we're going to kick it off in October and then wrap up the exhibition on National Diabetes Day, which is November 14th. So I'm really excited to expose the community to what artists are going through in their minds and then putting on canvas.
And to give everybody a little bit of perspective as far as what Amber does, you own a nonprofit art gallery. Don't own. You are the director for a nonprofit art gallery.
Correct.
In Norman, Oklahoma, showcasing upcoming artists and all kinds of artists, offering places for them to operate, also hosting events.
Yeah.
It's an amazing center. We've talked about it before, but...
Yeah, Dreamer Concepts. It's a community art space located in downtown Norman. And with the new building and the 7,000 square feet that we now have, I'm excited to be able to expand the gallery, essentially, and what all we're capable of doing. In addition to featuring just emerging artists, we work with elementary schools and other just like New View. We did an exhibition for, and that is a nonprofit organization based out of Oklahoma City that is all about people that are visually impaired or blind, and they created a body of work, and so we featured their things, and it was again another one of those holy shit, they're everybody here is a type 2 diabetic, and it was I was not prepared for that. And so we may invite them back as well. But anyway, we do the do-gooder stuff in addition to supporting the emerging artists here in the community.
Oh, you guys are doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And while we're on the topic of art, I know you had an interesting, meaningful interaction. Is that how you would classify it this week with a person?
Oh, yeah.
One of our readers.
Yeah. So we have something on our website, which is called SpeakPipe, and people can leave us voice messages. And we've received one this past week, and the woman, and I actually wrote about this in a recent post, was just, you could tell, was totally distraught with the fact that she has been suffering from diabetic retinopathy. I can't even say that. But she's been an artist for all of her life and has had diabetes for 60 years. She was diagnosed, I think, at age 8. And as she was talking about a recent opening reception that she should have been really excited about because it was so well received, she had a dark cloud over her, which was all about the fact that she had just gone to the eye doctor the week before and she was going to lose her eyesight. And she said, and it made me cry, really cry, because she said, in addition to being angry with the situation, she had another 30 years in her of wanting to be an artist. And so I hope you take a moment to read that post, because as I wrote about receiving vocational rehabilitation when I went to college, I was not allowed to study certain things, and anything that, if I were to lose my eyesight or lose a hand or whatever it may be, I would no longer be employable. So I did not pursue art, didn't really care to at that point, but here's a woman who not only did, but has been very successful, and now she's facing exactly what I feared. So it was, it's a great... I hope I wrote to her and hope that she'll reach back out, because she asked us to give her a pep talk, essentially. She wanted our help and seeing the light of the situation.
And I was impressed by the way that you reacted. And it's a very powerful thing. And it's obviously one of our fears is that we're not going to be able to do what we want to do in this world, in our life, because of diabetes. And you already had to face that because of college and not being able to pursue art. Or not even having it as an option as a part of the vocational services, and having her reach out, I felt like it was good timing, and you were the perfect person to be able to talk to her about it.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah.
So. And I'm going to continue to stalk her because I want to make sure that she's no matter what, and especially, talking about the New View, people can still create wonderful pieces being visually impaired or blind. So I hope that she doesn't lose that.
Yeah, and as far as we know, this woman, she has not lost her eyesight or anything at this point. I just think she's worried about it.
Yeah.
And looking at the future potential. But yeah, this is probably a good time, too, to talk about SpeakPipe. And I've got an idea for the future, in future podcasts. So what we're going to do is we're going to rework the SpeakPipe option along the right side of the Diabetes Daily Grind homepage to then have it set up to be able to take questions from
that's a good idea.
From readers. So if you have a question you want us to try to approach or talk about, it can be about any of our blog posts, any of the other topics we like to, just go ahead, record it. You have 30 seconds, drop in your question, then we'll actually air your question in the podcast and then answer it in the next podcast.
And I think, it doesn't even have to be about diabetes. It can be about anything.
Absolutely.
That's totally fine, too. I shouldn't say that.
What is your favorite wine?
What is your pant size?
No. Depends. that depends. So, yeah, that's where we're at. And this week, we really want to focus on a few things that we've seen in the news and a few things that are in the diabetes life currently, things we've seen on the internet, some of the big stuff that's moving around, making news, things you always see in your Facebook news feed. So that's what we're going to cover today. We're going to get into some diabetes mental health stuff because there's some really cool studies we want to talk about. But first, we have to talk about coffee. Coffee. Okay. About a week and a half ago. I guess it's probably 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks ago, I posted this recipe on Diabetes Daily Grind all about putting coconut oil in your coffee. And this is all centered on the Dave Asprey bulletproof coffee idea, the bulletproof executive trying to increase functionality and performance and effectiveness in like your first 4 hours at work. So basically, his recipe calls for a couple of tablespoons of coconut oil, a couple of tablespoons of butter, inside of this really like good organic coffee, and then you blend all this up with 12 ounces of coffee inside of a blender, and then drink that.
That's not.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's ludicrous.
To me, it sounds like I'm going to gain a pound a day. Like, hell no.
Okay, so that is the main concern with people. But people who do this, and Dave's following, they completely say that, you know, they see the opposite result because they're obviously they just took in like 600 calories worth of fat, but they're not actually hungry at all until lunch, and they said that they're much more consistent with their energy, and they can focus because of all the fat and the caffeine, along with the medium chain triglycerides. We're going to nerd out and geek out on the nutrition aspect
not
of this.
Not we.
Okay, me. But these MCTs that are in coconut oil, along with some of the stuff that's in butter, can actually ride with the caffeine across the blood-brain barrier and get into the brain and allow for caffeine to have a bigger punch and longer lasting effect. Me personally, being plant based, I don't do the butter thing. So I changed the recipe, went with a couple of tablespoons of coconut oil, only no butter, and then put in some protein powder. Yeah, I'm talking tablespoons. I mean, what have you been using?
I've been using like a teaspoon and a half, like because it's about the fat thing, I just whatever. But
okay, so if you do this, you basically have to not look at the amount of calories that are on the back of the coconut oil jar. You can't look at it.
All right. Okay, I don't know that I have, but go ahead.
All right, so we posted this thing, ended up catching on fire on the internet. It was huge on Facebook. People have loved it. People have been posting things. People have been commenting on my personal Facebook page about how ridiculous they think it is. But I've actually talked to medical school students. The president of our class in med school, he came up to me the day on test day, and he goes, "Dude, I did the coconut oil thing this morning, and it works. I can feel it. Like, I know it's working for me."
I feel like it's just one of those things you want to believe.
You do.
Yeah, it could really be a total placebo effect. Right, totally.
But I'm honestly not hungry at all. Like, I don't feel the pit in my stomach to eat until, like, maybe 11 or 12. And that's not eating anything.
Just you haven't
coconut
eaten
oil
anything.
And coffee. Yeah.
That's not right, actually. Yeah. You should be eating breakfast.
Well, this is the thing, though. We've also talked about this. It's about staying in the money zone for as long as you can, because if your blood sugar's in a good spot, say, for me, I want to be at 160 going into a test. And the easiest way to not disrupt that is honestly not to eat. And so if you add in a fat source like coconut oil with caffeine, then for me, it provides a stabilizing effect so I can stay in that productive zone all the way through the test and not have to worry about my insulin overtaking a bowl of cereal or me not taking enough insulin to cover you know, a peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Right.
I don't know. So, yeah, I think it helps a little bit.
Yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I bought into Ryan's post. with the exception of not doing as much. And now I'm not only addicted to it, I can't imagine coffee without it.
It tastes so good.
It does taste so good. And I have noticed other health benefits, like my hair.
Really?
My hair, what do you mean? Feels... Granted, I also change shampoos, and it's a good shampoo.
Oh, it's totally the coconut oil then.
But I feel like that has made a difference in the thickness of my hair and the fact that it is not as dry.
I believe it. Okay, we're going to link in the show notes a link to Dave Asprey's website so you can read completely about Bulletproof, and then we'll also link to the article that we wrote about our own spin on the coffee thing. But they do talk about hair, skin, nail quality.
I have not had any skin bonuses, have you?
I've noticed my hands aren't as dry. If I do it consistently for a couple of days, because, I mean, us folks with lack of pancreas function usually have dry skin. And my hands are notoriously dry, and I don't have to put on as much lotion, and it's been pretty cold.
Why don't you just put coconut oil on your hands?
Oh, I do that too, for sure. It smells very coconutty, though, so you got to be careful.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know there are other benefits.
There are plenty of other things, yeah, that go along with it. And I also want to touch on something from the last podcast where we talked with John Brandenburg.
Oh, yeah.
And during that podcast, we had a discussion about where our blood sugar is at when we feel our best. So I can't remember what number you said, but...
My goal every day is 110, but I think 140 is where, depending on the situation, what I'm going into is what my goal would be.
So that's where you feel like you perform the best, yeah.
Right.
Okay, I would say the same, 140-ish. And John said a different number.
93, and I challenged him on that.
And you called him out and said, well, 93, I think you're kind of a jerk.
Yeah, you're hangry and crabbier than usual.
All right, so one of our listeners, and when I say listeners... I mean, my mom.
One of the six people.
she said, you know, as a person who doesn't know that much about type 1 and type 2, it was a little bit confusing to me. I didn't understand why your zones were so much higher than John's, and how come you guys weren't actively working to be down at 93, and how it was so easy for John. So, you have any thoughts? On that?
No, because I don't know enough about type 2 diabetes necessarily, but I feel like if I'm at 93, I'm going to eat something because I don't want to go any lower.
Absolutely. If I'm trending downward and I'm at 110, I already start to feel a little bit low.
Right.
And so I think that what she was looking for was a little bit of a breakdown as to why John can have his a little bit lower than us. And for one, John has only had diabetes-related symptoms, type 2 diabetes, for a couple of years.
Right.
Okay, and you and I have had type 1 with no functioning pancreas whatsoever for
31 years.
15 years. You? Yeah, 30 years. So it's different because we just don't have the same system in place. We can't regulate. We have no backup. We have no glucagon. We have no insulin. And so for us, I don't know, we're more sensitive.
Right.
Because our body can't help us. And it's a lot easier for us to hang out at 140 than it is to hang out at 110.
Yeah.
Is that what you think, too?
I lost my train of thought.
It's all right.
I got nothing.
Well, it's probably hard to think because you've got in these Xbox gaming headphones right now, which will be in the picture.
I will say really quick about Brandenburg because he was kind enough to come to the Second Friday Art Walk this last Friday. And it had been a roller coaster of a day, diabetes and just with life in general. And there was a group of us that one of my board members as well had said, I haven't eaten all day other than a handful of nuts and a banana. I had eaten my normal early day stuff, but it had probably been 7 hours since I'd eaten anything. And now I'm having to engage people in conversation. So I asked John if he would kindly go and pick us up some food because he kept bitching about being hungry too and wanting to go to dinner after this. And I'm like, dude. I'm going to be here until 10 o'clock. Go and get some food. We can sit in the office, whatever. And so
you have to have food.
Right.
You can't just skip a meal because your body can't
fix it. And it's the day, it's February 13th. So it's Valentine's Day weekend. Every place is going to be packed. And I didn't want to deal with all that shit. So I'm not going to say sweet talked him. We strong armed him into going to pick up some food for us. And he scarves it down when the exhibition ends or whatever. it's 10:30 p.m. I'm in there eating, and so is the other board member. And he's looked at me and said something along the lines of, "You could tell my blood sugar was low, couldn't you?" And I was like, "Well, you're being a little bit more argumentative than usual, but," and I'm trying to say, "Hey, if we eat, nobody will feel like this." And so I think that just going back to the type one versus the type two, how I react may be different from him. And he was hangry, like I feel like the average person. Hey, I just need to put food in my body, and yep. I'm going to be a butthole until I get that. So, anywho.
Was that your cue to pick up on from him? Or did you notice an overall energy switch?
Energy switch. He just, I mean, like it was his, he's very focused, mm-hmm. I would say, even though he's a rambler. And he just, yeah, just wasn't the John Brandenburg I'm used to. So.
And I feel like, because we do a lot of stuff together, that it's, I can see it sometimes in you, but I don't pick it up that often. And I'm sure that you could see it sometimes in me.
Oh, yeah.
I think you call me out on the phone about it all the time.
Okay, and speaking of that, I'm going to roll into something really quick. Ryan,
oh, no.
I had like a 42-minute conversation about one thing.
It was easily the most unproductive, frustrating 42 minutes of my life.
And there was physical violence threatened on both parties at one point.
It wasn't acted upon, though. It was.
No. In fact, I'm supposed to open hand slap you in the face at some point today. But, at one point I thought, God damn, I mean, is somebody's blood sugar low in this situation?
Because I'm just so glad because you stopped midway and you go, you realize that we aren't talking about anything. And that we keep saying the same stuff and sharing the same ideas, but we cannot get on the same page. And I think I had just taken a test, and you had just had like a big, busy morning with meetings or something. And so we were just not in a good place.
We were not.
But yeah. Okay. So question, going back to this blood sugar thing. Have you ever had somebody in your life who can read your blood sugar whenever you can't?
I'm going to say no. My sister one time tried to tell me that my blood sugar was low, and I... almost physically assaulted her, and then I made her test her blood sugar. And my mom will bring stuff up every once in a while. I'm like, you know what? You take it down a notch. I'll worry about my blood sugar. So I've never allowed someone to really know, I think, if they were right.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a person with diabetes out there who doesn't get offended when somebody asks them what their blood sugar is.
Well, we've read a post about that. Never ask anybody to test their blood sugar.
Never.
And you know what? If their blood sugar is low enough, they might slap you in the face.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've had one person, an ex-girlfriend from a couple years ago, who, as soon as she saw me, could tell if I was low.
What were the symptoms?
I don't know. She just said that she could feel it.
Huh.
Yeah. And so she'd be like, "You okay?" And nothing is more unnerving than that. Like, because then you're like, oh, shit, am I okay? Am I okay? What's wrong? I'm not low. I'm definitely not low. Does she think I'm weird? And then every single time, she did it probably 10 times, I would go check my blood sugar, and I'd be in the middle zone. I'd be like 75 or 80 every single time. And so she could just sense it, and I honestly could not feel it. And every time, she was spot on.
Oh, well, we needed to keep her around. She could have protected you.
Maybe she's using those skills now in industry somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, so I think now's a good time to take a break. We're going to go ahead and thank one of our current sponsors, and then we'll get back to the action in just a second. I'm alive. Yes,
I'm alive. We want to thank our very first sponsor, Classic Vision. Jake Smith is wonderful and knows the diabetic eye. So look him up, downtown Norman. Actually, not downtown Norman, son of a bitch. Brookhaven.
That's awesome, though.
All right, continue on. Yeah, they're located in Brookhaven. Actually, there's a number of offices. They've expanded. Yeah. Okay, that's it.
Bottom line, Classic Vision. Jake Smith, you guys rock.
That's not going
to stop. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're back. Now we're back in the second half of the show. And where I want to start is us talking about treatment, because eventually I want to discuss the newest inhalable insulin called Afrezza from Mankind and get to what that's about, if either one of us would actually use that treatment in our lives, talk about the past with it. But first, Amber, just tell everybody how you currently deal with diabetes on a daily basis, your regimen.
I test my blood sugar 8 to 10 times a day and eat healthy meals and give shots. I do Lantus in the morning at 5:48 every day and then have my carb ratio. So depending on what I eat, and I try not to eat a ton of carbs in the evening time.
Yep. It's bread and butter.
Yep.
And it works for you. And so why would you say that you've stuck with that and stayed consistent with it? And basically really what I'm asking is, how come you've never jumped on the pump?
The pump. And I have written about this.
There are many people who do not use the pump.
I am anti-pump because I don't want to have anything attached to my body at all times. I hate when I go for a jog and have my headphones in. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly ripping shit out, and I just feel like it would be a nightmare. And two, and I know there's been so many women that have responded to that post, actually. I think it was called Handcuffed in a Pump Prison, where do you put it? What if you don't wear underwear? There's all kinds of other things going on. And I've had so many women, I put it in my bra. Now there's all these things, and I just didn't want to have to deal with it.
Yeah, period. It's a big thing. It's a lack of freedom, and I think it wears on pump users for sure.
Yeah.
So, all right, so that's where Amber's currently at. For me, I grew up, I took shots. That's what I did at first. I was actually in the first childhood inhaled insulin study from Pfizer back in the day whenever I was 11 years old. And then after that study ended up and didn't end up making it to market, I liked it, but decided to go into the pump, and I've been in the pump ever since, occasionally for months at a time, jumping off the pump and going back to Lantus and Novolog, Humalog, whatever insurance covers, for a little while. But I love the pump. I'm currently on it. I use the CGM. I look at the CGM occasionally whenever it comes to mind, have it set up to give me alarms when I go high or low. It's a continuous glucose monitor. That's what CGM means, for those that don't know. And I really like it. It works for me in my life. It allows me to do the sugar surfing idea. If you're interested in sugar surfing, we have a post on the website. Just search it up. We'll put it in the show notes. But for me, yeah, that's basically how I live my life and gives me some flexibility. But I get the lack of freedom that you're talking about.
And I'm going to go on to the inhaling, the test study that you're a part of. When you made a joke about it being like a bong in the middle of a restaurant and how awkward it was, did you have to give or inhale X amount for what you were going to eat? Or did you do it like twice a day? I mean, how did you?
That's a great question. I mean, the way that it used to work is you would take one long-term insulin shot in the morning. So you were not completely free of shots. So I would take one Lantus in the morning, which is how it's going to work now too, I assume, because this is not a long-term inhaled insulin that's on the market now. The one that they took had the exact same profile and acted exactly the same as Novolog and Humalog. The exact same. I would take a shot in the morning, and then they had different blister packs is what they called them. And so these packs you would put into the bong. Okay, it could be a 1-unit pack, a 2-unit pack, a 5-unit pack. And so you could mix and match to get the appropriate amount of units you wanted. And you would just hit the release button. All the smoke would fly up into the chamber. I can't make this up. And then you would spin open the chamber. It would start to leak out. And you would just and let it hold. And you would have to hold it in until it absorbed through, I guess it was, your alveoli.
What if you have asthma? What if you can't do that?
Asthma was a contraindication. So people with asthma,
couldn't use it.
Wasn't advised. But there were some side effects. I don't remember the specific ones. Maybe it explains who I am today in some ways. So maybe I should go back and look at what happened in that study. But it was interesting.
Well, I wonder if just like smoking, if it messes up your lungs long term.
I think that was the question. That's what they were looking at. So I would have to go to the pulmonologist once a month to get a full
And did they ever see
lung
anything?
Screen. No, they never saw anything.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for me, it worked. Worked exactly the same. I had good control. It was almost easier.
Taking bong ribs at age 11.
I was taking bong ribs.
Bet you were a lot of fun in college. Just kidding.
I wish I could have kept it. I don't think they let us keep it.
Oh, that because it's part of a test artifact. Study. Yeah, like the study that I was a part of, you had to turn in everything. They didn't get around.
I should have quote unquote lost it or something. Old me would have. But so now we're in a place with Afrezza on the market. and they think that this can replace shot therapy.
It's called Mankind, is that correct?
Yeah, it's put out by Mankind, which I believe is the pharmaceutical company.
And I gotta say, as a branding, Mankind is pretty badass.
It's pretty badass,
yeah,
with,
it's
two,
a nice name.
With two N's.
Yeah.
So maybe one of the people who's a part of that, last name Man or something? I don't know.
Well, and I have to say that when I started to read this article, initially I thought when inhaling, for some reason, inhaling, maybe the average person knows this and I don't, but I was thinking that it was like a nasal spray, like you shot it up your nose.
Yep.
And as you described, as we talked about this earlier, that yeah, it is like an inhaler, and it talks about that in the article and how... in the article, you know, do you stab yourself under the table? Would this make a business luncheon easier and things like that? And I absolutely, and Ryan was saying, would you try it? Hell yeah, I'd give it a whirl. To be able to do a quick inhale at the dinner table versus shooting up would be great.
I mean, when we're looking at this and who their target market is, I mean, it would appear that it would be people exactly like you.
Yeah.
To use it.
And I wonder if I could switch off. I mean, like, let's just say that I use the inhalant in social settings and I do the shots at home.
Oh, yeah.
Like, could you go back and forth? Would
That's
you want to?
The question.
Now, let me just say that that just upped my prescription bill from 500 to about 7,000 each
right.
month if you were to have multiple options, which insurance doesn't allow.
It's true because insurance, it's the same cost to you whether or not you have one vial or two vials
right.
of Novolog when you show up. So if you said, well, now that I'm on inhaled insulin, I only need half the vials, it probably wouldn't change your prescription cost. It would still be the same copay.
Right.
And then you'd have another copay for the inhaled insulin.
I want to just throw a quick wrench in things and a good thing for the current healthcare. I switched my insurance plan as of January and have literally set up every doctor's appointment known to man and picked up my test strips, which used to cost me an ass load, even with insurance.
How much?
$10.
Wow.
And I got 300.
Oh, that's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. What a difference. Now, I'm paying $78 more a month, but I just went to my OBGYN free, picked up a separate medication, and it was free. I can't say free. I'm paying for it. But what a difference that coverage and just really having to do a little bit more research. I signed up for the original package because it was the cheapest and it was the most affordable for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm willing to budget a little bit more because long term my prescriptions are a third of the cost. So I'm saying
so
that
you feel
out loud.
Like it's worth it. You
absolutely
feel like it's worth it.
And so for people that are battling the healthcare stuff, take the day or two or seven to do your research because long term it will be much more financially beneficial.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Yeah. And so you did your own research,
yeah.
healthcare.gov, you went through the process.
Lots of processes.
Oh, man. It's a beast.
yeah.
Absolutely. But back to the inhaled insulin thing.
Sorry.
They're a little bit different in that they don't work as rapid as Novolog or Humalog does. Mm-hmm. So it is going to have a little bit of a different profile. So for anybody who actually gets on this and tries it, please reach out to us. We're curious. We want to know exactly what you think it works like. Like, can you eat food and take it? Does it get in the system quickly? How long does it stay? Do you have as many low blood sugars? Because I know for them, this is only going to be successful and proven successful, and they're going to make a ton of money off of it if it prevents hypoglycemic events. That is the one thing that all diabetes medications are judged on, which is very interesting. But
it's good to know.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. And, you know, we were talking about research, and on the blog, I broke down basically what we should look for in research whenever we read this stuff online, because let's face it, we're people with diabetes and we are at the center of an industry that is constantly trying to sell us stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Somebody recently put on our Facebook page, which I hope you check out, Diabetes Daily Grind, is simple cures for type 1 and type 2 diabetes. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's a...
All right, so there's that kind of stuff. There's
yeah.
the spam.
Yeah.
We all see those emails. Cinnamon saves the day. This new version of cinnamon is going to change your life. Okay, we all see that stuff. And as type 1s, it's like, okay, yeah, we're immune to it because we know it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But for type 2s, it can be really tough because cinnamon does actually work in a way. And so it's very complicated. But we talked about research. And basically, here were the things that I thought were really important. And all of my thoughts came from this one research study that I saw online. And it was posted on all kinds of different diabetes organizations' websites. And I saw it and I was like, that just doesn't make sense. So the headline read, doubling saturated fat intake results in lower heart rate risk.
What?
Yeah.
Lower heart rate risk?
Lower heart rate risk. Or not heart rate, lower heart, like heart attack.
Oh, okay. Heart. I was like, well, you want your heart rate. I don't understand.
Doubling saturated fat drops your heart rate to 10. Okay, that's not true. That's not true. But so, I went ahead, I looked at it. This stuff was everywhere. I mean, if you follow any diabetes group, you saw this when it came out. Ugh. So I went in, looked at the back of the study, and because I'm always curious who funds these studies, because studies are designed to give a result, and that result is designed for someone to make money, usually.
Right.
And this is how these things work. I mean, this is how it works. So I went and looked, and this particular study was funded by the Dairy Council, the Egg Council, and somebody involved with the beef group. I was like, okay, it's interesting. And so basically what they had done was taken, I think it was a pretty small subset of people, reduced their calorie intake, okay, so they would lose weight, but then boosted all of their saturated fat intake. So they were eating less calories and they were eating basically all fat.
Isn't that
so? These people lost weight. And because they lost weight, yeah, it's basically like the Atkins in a way. And so these people lost weight, and anytime you lose weight, you also lower your cholesterol. So, and then they tied it together, and now you have like, oh, you can prevent heart disease if you eat bacon and eggs every day. Which I'm not saying that those can't be part of a healthy diet, but mm-hmm. we just need to be careful what we look at, because research can be complicated. So we got to be careful. And you got to have your eyes out for stuff. Always look at the study.
Right. Yeah. And you just wrote about that.
I did. I just wrote about it. And my number one tip, too, is to know your own bias going into it. Like, say you're sitting in front of your computer and you see this come across. It's like, doubling saturated fat intake is good for your heart. And you're sitting there and you're eating, like, an Egg McMuffin with this.
Hopefully you're not.
Okay. Then
it's like,
you gotta
yay!
Know your bias. It's like, oh my god, yeah,
I'm already
amazing.
Doing it, yay,
yeah, I'm doing this, I'm living right. Okay, and you're sitting behind your desk. Okay, you need to be careful. And I know my own bias too. I'm sitting there and I'm not eating that, and so I know where I'm coming from. So you just got to know where your bias is. I think that's pretty important too.
Yeah,
yeah, no doubt. And anything else to add on that front?
No, I just think about with my gluttonous amount of reading at night and the Twitter feeds and things like that.
Yeah, Amber reads everything that's on the diabetes internet everywhere. She digs deep.
And I gotta say, and I'm appalled by 98% of it and just think, are you really thinking this? How are you? I mean, and there was one, and I'm gonna write about it soon. Mind you, I've had 31 years of experience, so I know everyone's situations are different and the way that they respond to things, but how to determine what you're having a low blood sugar. I'm like, if you don't know if you're having a fucking low blood sugar, then you need to go back to school or something. Because, I mean, you're going to be hospitalized if you don't feel the signs. I don't know. I'll write about it soon and be very specific as to what things.
I would love you to do that. Yep.
We're idiots. I don't know. I think that I need to figure out more about or do more research about who wrote it. Because to me, it was like, hopefully your physician or your endocrinologist is giving you information as to what are the warning signs of a low blood sugar. This was like, we were all 3 years old.
All right. So yeah, while we're here, what are your top things that you pick up whenever you're low?
Cold sweat, not being able to focus. Mm-hmm. And I've even written about the fact that one day when I was cleaning the house, I couldn't accomplish anything. I thought, God, I've got so much going on. I feel really, really good and the multitasking, but nothing was finished. And I was like, God. And so my blood sugar, I think, was like 58.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Signs of anxiety. Like if I have a random, I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, there's so much going on. And I think average people do that with stress, a stressful life. But this morning, my blood sugar was 59. And so as I'm laying there thinking, there's so much I need to accomplish. None of it was all that important. It was just the fact that my blood sugar was low.
Right.
Cold sweat too. Sweat.
Cold sweat. So would you say the mental changes and like, yeah, the attitude changes and energy changes that you can feel when you go low are probably the primary indicator for you now?
Dark cloud. You're in a depressed bubble.
Oh yeah. All the light in the world is gone. basically. It's a, it could be a very dark place. So I'm actually checking my CGM as we speak to make sure I'm not in that place.
I tested it.
And I'm good to go.
What,
I'm not necessarily good to go.
What are you at right now?
Well, the line is flat, which is a good thing. I mean, it's not trending anywhere. So I feel pretty good, but the number is 212.
Oh, well, that's better than 22.
That's true. Yeah. And whenever I need to speak, I'd probably rather be at 212 than 92.
I tested my blood sugar before doing this, and it was 120.
Okay.
Ate a little bit of carrots and hummus, drinking some Prosecco, so I'm fine.
You're set. You're ready to rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a quick bolus. Okay, so we're good. But, yeah, that's it. You basically brought up what we were wanting to talk about and to finish up today, which is about mental health and diabetes. And what kind of focus it should have in our lives, because another study that came out this week, it was a collection of 17,000 children that were born in Sweden between 1973 and 2009 versus 1 million similar but healthy kids. So they took the type 1s, those 17,000, versus a million other kids, and they compared health outcomes. And they found that patients with type 1 diabetes have almost double the risk of depression compared to the general population.
Right.
And I told you this earlier today, and
it's a no-brainer.
No shit. Yeah. Yeah.
And Ryan and I both talked about this and written about, and this was new that I didn't know that the depression the doom and gloom days were diabetes related necessarily. I think that if I would have addressed the mental health part of my life, like I've tackled the healthy eating, I would have been a lot more successful in life in general. So yeah, I constantly write about it. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to have those days and to recognize that it's diabetes related. It's not just,
I don't know. Yeah. I think too often I think it's me. Yeah. What you're talking about, like, oh man, like I really screwed up this day, or I missed this opportunity, or I wasn't my best during the test. And sometimes that is true, you know, and there's things that we can do to help ourselves up. But then sometimes, you know, your blood sugar's high because you're sick and right. You're 300 and you probably said something that you shouldn't have. And it's okay to give yourself a break and to not crucify yourself for saying something.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, this week in the latest post that I put out on Thursday, I was talking about how meditation can transform your diabetes management just by installing a little bit of mindfulness to then be able to see where your mind states are going and to notice whenever those negative thoughts start to enter and you can't let them wash away, what's going on,
right.
And to go test your blood sugar and to catch it before you end up being in a low place and getting stuck in that dark spot.
Well, we both talked about this as well. So let's just say you have a really low blood sugar or have a number of lows in one day that beats you down. You're not your average, you're not your
absolutely.
Yourself. And then you can't function, your job suffers, your relationships suffer. And I have no desire to be apologetic or even realize it at the time that maybe my piss poor attitude is because I've just felt like shit for 48 hours. And now I'm recognizing that and taking a day to have a mental health day, which is diabetes related instead of just total chaos. You know, just the...
Absolutely, yeah. So. And which basically gets us to this place of realizing that, yeah, diabetes is everything.
Yeah.
And it's the whole body. So if you need to take a mental health day, it's a diabetes health day too. But really, diabetes is just a bigger part of this entire picture that's us, and it's all connected. And if you don't take care of yourself, it's obviously going to reflect in your diabetes management. And if you don't
are a part of your life have no idea that you're actually internalizing all of this. And I had a good friend, one of the women from the cult and my women's group, and I was talking about the wedding that we were just a part of, and it was a full day event. And so I'm thinking about what to eat before. We sipped champagne as the bride was getting dressed. We, you know, and it was an all day event, and I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to eat anything. And I, in one of my first posts, another wedding, how do you put your insulin, or how do you have a cute handbag with all the shit that goes in there? And so just with that being said, she said to me, she's like, I have no idea until I read that post what all you have to think about going into an event that most people are just thinking, well, these shoes hurt my feet if I dance for 2 hours.
Oh, there's so much more.
And so, yeah. And I didn't know that I was actually having to think about all that. I just thought, this is what everybody goes through. But I'm pissed because I'm now having to think about so many things. So anywho,
it's normal
just going
to
back
you.
To yeah.
Sometimes.
And that's, yeah. And a lot of times when people ask me about diabetes, I'm thinking, you know, I thought everybody thought this way. And now I'm realizing that's not the case, and it allows me to process it differently. The anger and the frustration and yeah. So
it does. It allows you to, and I'm starting to get to that place where I'm okay with being more vulnerable with where I'm at with diabetes and if it is affecting who I am and what interaction I'm giving out to the people around me, right. Being able to talk to them about it. Say, hey guys, I know we're working on this group project together, but currently my blood sugar, it's a little bit high. So if I seem a little bit distant, it's not personal.
Right.
I'm doing my best. It'll probably be down in a couple of minutes. But yeah, just a heads up. And I'm becoming more comfortable saying that, admitting that
yeah.
something's going on, you know, because I don't think people hold it against us.
No, I don't think so either. And I walked into a board meeting a couple months ago and said, my blood sugar is low. I'm going to sit here and eat. Go ahead and start. I'll be back up to normal here in a little bit. So just my mind is not working as it should. And I would have never have said that even 9 months ago.
Oh, me either.
And they totally understood. Nobody cared. I mean, it was not that big of a deal.
That's hard to do, though.
It is.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
I think that's all I've got to say on that topic today. And you have anything else you want to cover today
while we have the mic? I want to say that we've had a couple of followers come our way on Twitter, excuse me, because of a guy who has been reposting our podcast. And we've had a little bit of witty banter back and forth. And you're lucky, Scott, I'm not going to burp. Even though I wanted to.
We've got that sound archived, though.
I purposefully kept it in. but yeah, Ryan, do you want to give a shout-out to Scott?
Sure. Yeah, scottsdiabetes.com, Scott Johnson, another person with diabetes who's a leader in the diabetes online community. Helps a ton of people. Seems like he's there for everybody who's trying to grow and provide support.
Yeah.
And he's been a huge lift for us on Twitter and writing posts about our podcast on his mm-hmm. website. And him and I are currently working on a plant-based diet recap, what effect it can have on the diabetic life. And he's looking to post that on mysugar.com. So, yeah, he's a great guy. Check out his stuff. He's active on, like we said, Twitter and Facebook, Scott's Diabetes. Google him. We'll put him in the show notes, too.
That sounds great.
Is that a wrap?
I think that's a wrap. No burping, no craziness.
Episode number 3 in the books.
Oh, and you know what? One last thing. Let's talk about maybe, and I feel like touched on this in number 1, maybe some future podcast topics. I want to bring in a wine rep. Actually, she is brilliant, and we had a conversation. She's the one that introduced me to Prosecco, and we talked about the sugar breakdown and how alcohol is processed and how your body you're like, wrap it up. Anywho, she will be a great guest, and she's got a great personality. You'll thoroughly enjoy her.
I'm looking forward to that too. It's gonna be fun to break it down with her. Yeah. The alcohol effects on blood sugar.
Yeah. And yes. how alcohol is actually put. We have a brew person here, and how they the sugar, how it goes. Anywho, doesn't matter. I'm rambling. Yeah, that's it.
We do. So that's it. We have stumbled into some accordions that our buddy Jonathan found inside of our house, along with what looks
sure
like a tambourine.
It's a tambourine. Okay, yeah. Yay.
Right, so that's how we're going to close the show. Guys, thanks. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
If you enjoyed Ryan and I shooting the shit, give us a boost by liking us on Facebook or following us on Twitter. We provide entertaining takes on the diabetic life and offer real support. If you'd like to support this podcast, it's real simple and probably something you already do. Click through our Amazon banner along the right side of the diabetesdailygrind.com before you buy. It helps us immensely and it doesn't cost you an extra cent. If you want this podcast delivered straight to your phone as soon as we post it, subscribe to Real Life Diabetes on iTunes or Stitcher. Big thanks to Jonathan Stapleton once again for all of the audio, engineering, and editing. We'll be back soon. Tell a friend. Enjoy the highs and lows, everyone. Peace out, Amber Kluwer.